Right, well, let's go down to Ponting's dark room. I think it might be my favourite spot in the hut, and let's talk about some of the amazing work that happened there.
So we're standing in Ponting's dark room. Ponting was the photographer for Scott's expedition. He documented the men at work and the men relaxing and playing, and also the environment and the wildlife as well. And there are a huge number of photographs, black and white photographs of really good quality that he brought back, as well as little cine films as well, moving images. We use those photographs a lot in conservation, just to look at the artifacts in the background. Sometimes we can identify specific artifacts, where they were used and how they were used, so they can go back in the same position. And also looking at what condition they were in then and what wear and tear was on them, so we can identify how to treat them in the future.
It's just such an incredible space in here because there is a lot packed in, like looking up on three layers of shelving, and I can see just dozens of bottles of chemicals, everything to assist his photography, I imagine. One of the things that's caught my eye is something called Agfa flashlight. Do you know what that was used for?
You've actually picked on one of my favourite artifacts. There are three bottles of Agfa flashlight. The photographs that Ponting took were often inside the hut, where it would be very dark. And so flashlight is actually very fine magnesium aluminium powder, which would have then been lit and would have exploded and given a bright light that he could then take photographs by. A bit like using a flash on a camera now, but in a more basic form. And you can see that in some of the photographs that Ponting's taken. It looks really well lit. The room looks bright and the people look bright. But in the background, you can see little candles which were burning, which they had been previously using. Also, if you look at some of the photographs he took during the winter of icebergs, they're all lit up. And he would use the flash powder for taking those photographs as well, making little pots of the flash powder and putting them around the landscape or the ice scape, I guess it is, for taking those photographs.
He did take a lot of photographs, and I believe there was even a little bit of a laugh about when the men were constantly asked to pose for photographs, and they talked about having to pont. We have to pont now.
Interestingly enough, we were just in the kitchen in the galley area and talking about Clissold, who is the chef, and he was asked to pose for Ponting on one of the icebergs, which had been frozen into the sea ice, and unfortunately he slipped and damaged his back quite badly and had to then be returned on the relief ship. He couldn't stay. He was supposed to stay for the second year, but he wasn't able to because he'd been so badly hurt during that particular escapade, I guess you could call it.
I think that's a really good reminder that we are working in Antarctica, the world's most extreme environment, and we do have to be extremely careful working down here. And even for modern day scientists and for teams like ourselves, there's a huge amount of health and safety considerations and to look after yourself and make yourself feel safe.
Yeah, and often there are things that you wouldn't think about in normal life. You know, how do you step onto the ice from the land? You have to be careful of the tide cracks, which are cracks where the because the tide rises and falls, the ice breaks and you have cracks along the waterfront there. And just stepping across those is a hazard in itself.
I know our camp is about 10 minutes walk away from the hut. And every time I'm walking back to camp or over to the hut, I tell myself, focus on what you're doing. Just think about getting to the hut or getting back to camp. Don't let your mind wander because it is so easy to slip, twist an ankle or break a leg, and then that would be the end of what we're doing here.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been here so far. It's been windy, but it's the visibility has been really good walking backs and forwards between the camp and the hut. But I've been here a couple of times when there have been not blizzard conditions, but the blowing snow. And it's quite difficult to orientate yourself to just, you know, to see where you're going if you're walking out in that. So you will have noticed that we've got a row of flags out between the hut and the camp. And that's so you can actually follow that if you get caught halfway and suddenly the visibility deteriorates.
So if we turn around behind us and we'll just shine some light, just, it's interesting, we're in a very, very dark space, so we've got a handheld light so that we can illuminate some of the objects. And I'm looking at here what looks like a whole heap of nails banged into a piece of metal and it's sort of in a big star shape. Can you tell me a bit about what that might have been used for?
Pontin also took a lot of photographs on glass plate negatives, but he also used rolls of film as well. And this would have been used to unroll the film so he could then go ahead and process it. And in fact, on the back of the door, you'll see that there is a piece of textile hanging down with two sleeves in it. And it looks a bit like an apron, but is actually, in fact, a blackout bag that he put his hands into so he could then change the film without it being exposed to light. And talking about that, if you turn around and look behind you on the bench here, this is one of my favourite artefacts, and I remember treating it back in 2010. It's called a safety lamp. When you're processing film, you obviously can't be exposed to light. And so working in a dark room, you'd have a red light, which the film isn't sensitive to. Pontin had this. It's a metal contraption, probably about a foot high, curved on the back. And on the front, there's a glass plate, which is coloured red. If you open up that door inside, there's a little spirit lamp. It would have come with a spirit lamp, but it's actually been altered so that it runs off the acetylene, which is in the hut. This would give off a red light so that Pontin could work in here and work on his film. Obviously with the door shut, and all the men in the hut would know not to actually come in while he's working with us.
I understand that Ponting actually slept in this space, and he had a small bed that folded out from under one of the benches. And look, this space is really about 2.5 metres long by 2.5 metres wide. It's very, very small. What do you think that would have been like, and why would he do that?
I guess it would have been cramped, but at least you had a bit of privacy, because most of the men in the hut, their beds are exposed to everyone around. So it would have been a snug little area to sleep in.
And two stories that relate to the dark room that I just love, but actually in relation to the Ross Sea Party, I just thought we might share those. So the first one is, if we bend right down, we have a look on the back wall here. I'm not sure if you're able to reach in and expose that, but there's a very special marking behind a flap. So it's a cross, and this was put in here by Reverend Spencer Smith, who was on the Ross Sea Party. He was actually a chaplain, and he came and used Ponting's dark room space to pray. And I think it's quite poignant being able to see this little cross marked into the wall, particularly because he didn't survive. He sadly was one of the three people that died on the Ross Sea Party on that adventure. We're kind of crouching down here on the very cold floor, having a look at something that was carved in there over 100 years ago.
That's right. And if you walk up the hill behind the hut, there is actually a cross which commemorates the men on the Ross Sea Party who died.
Yeah, that's quite incredible to see. The other story that, and I believe you were working on the conservation team, was when we found a bunch of photo negatives that hadn't been developed. So you can tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. The paper conservator was working on a tin, opened it up, just looked very ordinary. And inside we found these negatives. And they were in surprisingly good condition, and they were sent back to Christchurch, and we were able to retrieve the images from them.
My understanding was that when we published these images, it actually broke our website. People were just fascinated to see around a dozen images or so that had never been seen before, including images of someone like Alexander Stevens on the deck of the Aurora. It was just a glimpse into in a really interesting period in history of Antarctic exploration, and particularly, I think, the sadness of the story around the Ross Sea Party.
That's right, and I think that is because there aren't that many photographs of that particular expedition. Unlike Scott's expedition, where Pontin was taking photographs, there aren't a lot of photographs revealing the men who were on that expedition.